This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. In the spring, after attending a dance music conference in Miami, New York Times music critic Neil Strauss wrote, "The conference proved that few underground styles are more creative, diverse, and deserving of wider recognition." Electronic dance music, or techno, has been big in Europe for several years, but is now just catching on in the States. Because the music here has remained mostly in clubs, some of its heroes are not yet household names. For example, you may not be familiar with my guests Josh Wink and King Britt, but they're very popular DJs and producers in the international dance music world. They're both from Philadelphia, and together they have a new record label imprint affiliated with Columbia Records called Ovum. In 1995, Josh Wink had four singles that hit Britain's top 40 charts and one record that was number one on the Billboard dance chart. King Britt toured with the hip-hop group Diggable Planets and has remixed and produced tracks for Donna Lewis and Tori Amos. He has a new album under the name Silk 30. First, we're going to hear a track from Josh's new Ovum recording, Are You There? Josh Wink told me that people are often confused by what he does, which is a lot more than spinning turntables. I asked him what instruments and equipment he used on the new CD.
We have keyboards. We have drum machines. We have samplers. We have computers. We have turntables, but we don't really use the turntables for making music. What we use the turntables for is to play the music that we made a couple months down the road.
Whose voice did you sample saying, Are You There?
That's a friend of mine by the name of Rob Sherwood. And it was actually on my answering machine. And sometimes in my studio, I have all the ringers off. And I just had the volume up a little bit on my answering machine to not be bothered with the constant ringing of the phone, which happens to both King and I a lot. So most people know when they called that I'm screening my phone calls. So they say, you know, Josh, it's so-and-so. Are you there?
King Britt, I want to get to your new CD, which is recorded under the name Silk 130, and the CD's called Getting Into It. This has several mixes.
Yes.
Which is your favorite? We'll play that one.
My favorite is the original mix, the first basement recording of it. So that's the one I like.
Let's hear it.
Okay.
At my own pace, thinking of a love so strong, taking chances in life before it's gone. You gotta get to grips. You've got to get involved, get into it. You gotta get to grips. You've got to get involved, get into it.
Red lights, car horns, no light, 'cause loving's gone.
King Britt, listening to that, I was trying to place the sample. Is that from Shaft?
Oh, no, unfortunately, yeah. It's not, but it has that feel.
Yeah, it's like very Shaft era.
Yeah.
What
right,
is it?
Exactly. Well, that's a Barquet sample.
Oh.
It's called Fighting Fire with Fire.
Oh.
And, you know, it's interesting with looping and sampling. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, you're just taking someone else's music and making it your own. But as you can see with this song, there's a lot more emotion. I look at sampling as looping pieces of emotion. And that's why the whole Silk 130 album, I'd say that it's an emotion picture. Not that everything is sampled. This song is really old. It's about 3 years old, actually. First came to mind, like, I was just in a basement going through records, and it just hit me, like, certain parts of songs hit DJs in a certain way. You're like, wow, this is a strong part. And, you know, I heard that, and I looped it, put it into my sampler, which is always next to the turntable, just in case. And I looped it, and it just is something, when we take samples or loops, we always try to take something that you can hear over and over, and it stirs up some sort of visual image in your head. So, you know, you take the loop, you put it in your sampler, and then I wanted to add my own element, my own emotion to the loop. So I pick out a string sound, and that's what you hear in the beginning. And that's what really gives it that Shaft, Isaac Hayes type of orchestration.
All right.
So you put strings in, and it adds, it kind of tones down the strength of the loop. And then, you know, being that we're DJs for the dance floor, you need that those rhythms, those beats enhanced. So, you know, I added a breakbeat underneath, a snare and kick and hi-hat. And then on top of that, there's another loop, drum loop, just to give it bottom, to give it depth.
I'd like to have a sense of what it's like for you as DJs in a club. What are you surrounded with? What can you do? King, what's a typical mix like for you when you're doing it live in a club?
I look at the crowd and kind of get a feel for what has been played previously. I try to use a lot of sound effects, as you heard in the Silk 130, like rain sounds and wind, just to create some sort of world within the club. And lights have a lot to do with it, too. I like really minimal lighting to go along with the music. And the music that I spin when I spin house music is very deep and aquatic, and it really makes you kind of think and close your eyes and, wow, this is beautiful and very melodic. And you kind of go on a trip. You know, you start slow, you build it up, you climax, you come back down, you climax again. So it's really interesting to see what putting these two records together and kind of making a new sound, kind of, you know, it's wild to see what happens to the crowd.
Josh, I think your music is much more techno, much more kind of electronic oriented. And tell me why you head in that direction.
Well, I head in every kind of direction. A unique thing about me is that I'm able to kind of skate on the thin line in between different kinds of music. And that's a unique aspect on myself that people say towards myself, and I guess I can say about myself. Same with King. I mean, King's album is soul, it's funk, it's acid jazz based, but he still produces house music and dance music, even techno music. And a lot of people have the expectations that we only make one sound or one style of music. I just call what I do electronic music because it's basically everything that I kind of do is electronic bass. Even if I use a saxophone player, you know, I record electronically. So I just go to where my heart goes. You know, if I'm feeling like making a house record, I'll make a house record. Or if I want to do an ambient track with no beats, you know, just get into real avant-garde experimentation, then I'll do that.
My guests are dance music DJs and producers Josh Wink and King Britt. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. back with dance music DJs and producers Josh Wink and King Britt. King, when you're in a club and you're mixing different records and you're looking for a certain groove on one record, how do you visually find it? I mean, how do you even know where to put the needle down?
Well, I mean, in dance music and house music, first you got to know your records.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're at home, you just bought a pile of records. You really should go through your records and learn where these grooves are, where the breaks are, and where, like, just the main rhythm is. So you kind of, if you go in there knowing your records, you know where to put the needle. I mean, visually you can see different breaks, or you can, you just know where it is. I just can't really explain it. But
you feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing, as King's about to get into, is that it's basically all mathematics. You know, things happen in measures of usually four or two.
Yeah.
So you basically can feel when a change is about to come about,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you do feel it. But also you feel, emotionally you feel it too. You have two records. Some people hold records, you know, hold two records together in sync to create a new record, which Josh is really known for. Kind of like it's orchestrating, it's creating a whole new song with two records. Or just mixing, taking people's emotion and changing it. You know, going from something really dark and then lifting them up into, you know, with a piano or with a high tone record, and it uplifts your spirits.
It's really an art. A lot of people can just play records, but when you start making music out of the records, that's when it gets to that next level. And then you'll see the DJs just really manipulate a crowd. And it's unbelievable how they do that, like a rock show.
Well,
like,
tell me about how, like, when you're watching a crowd, what you're looking for to see how they're responding, and then working off of that. Yeah.
It was amazing. We were just in Toronto. Now I've seen Josh, right? It's been, what were you, 17? 18, working at the Banana. Black Banana here in Philadelphia.
18.
So anyway, we're in Toronto, and it's like 2,000 people. So Josh gets on, and people are going nuts. It's like a concert. People are like, they're just waiting to hear what's going to happen. So, you know, Josh starts real, you know, nice vocally and house-oriented music. Then he just goes deeper. And you see the crowd react. You know, at first they're all like this. And then all of a sudden, I guess an hour into it, they have their eyes closed and they're just really into the groove. And Josh is like the master of the groove. You know, he's got the groove going and he just goes from one to the other, building it up with sounds, really into sounds, real minimalistic tracks. But when you put them together, it's creating something else. So, you know, Josh is known for his, you know, harder, breakbeaty, like really strong emotional electronic music. So he's building it up to that point. But he has these tools. See, we had three turntables there. But he has these tools, like there's certain records with just a drum roll. And there's certain records with like helicopter sounds and just records, you know, with looped tools that we need. It adds certain elements. So he's got this really incredible groove going, but he's got this drum roll record, and he's playing a drum roll record and bringing up the volume, you know, and you hear the drum roll get louder and louder. People are going nuts, and the lights go along with the drum roll. He drops the track out, and all you hear is the drum roll. And then it's kind of building up, you know, kind of like, well, sex. And it's building up, and then all of a sudden, boom, it comes back and the lights and the kids are like screaming, and it's amazing.
It's euphoric.
It's amazing.
It's
to see.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing to see, man. I was like this. I was looking around like, oh, I was all embarrassed.
How did you first start DJing? Did you do it alone in your room before you actually got to a club?
I did.
Well, it's different for us, but I actually got into DJing. DJing's a very in-fashion thing to do right now. As I said, the circle has turned, and now it's a cool and hip thing to do. When I got into DJing, it was in 1983. A friend of mine was a radio DJ on an AM station in Kresgeville, Pennsylvania. And my enthusiasm was turned on getting involved in radio. And then from radio, my friend Chuck, he actually started getting into mobile DJing, and I became his apprentice when I was 13 years old and setting up a van, you know, to putting the equipment together and learning the business. And then 3 years later, I bought his equipment and taught myself how to DJ, and it was the desire to want to do this. And then I started doing house parties and school parties, and then it just, you know, it developed. Mm-hmm. And the desire got stronger and the passion became even greater. And I guess, you know, I was a bar back in a nightclub here in Philadelphia, and that was my in. You know, at the late 80s, you know, all the DJs in Philadelphia were the DJs that have been around for a while, and everything was getting a little stagnant. And so it was hard for me to get in, especially as an 18-year-old, and these DJs are at least 8 to 10 years older than me, and I'm fresh blood, and I, you know, may seem to be, you know, competition for them. But our friend Blake Tart, who's a DJ, you know, in Philadelphia, he was a bicycle courier, and we used to throw parties in Philadelphia for bike couriers out in West Philly, and like... in warehouse spaces as private parties, you know, in the late 80s. And then we started getting nightclub gigs and spinning in the nightclubs. And then King and I hooked up in 89 through Blake. And King was DJing then at times for parties, but with tapes. He didn't know how to DJ with records
really?
Yet.
Really?
Tapes and CDs. Wow. Huh. Well, I've always, I mean, growing up, I grew up in Southwest Philly, so block parties were massive, were the big thing. That was a rave to me. You know, you have 1,000 people on your street, and you have a big stage and a DJ, you know, Cash Money, Jazzy Jeff, DJ Miz, all these amazing hip-hop DJs cutting and scratching and manipulating two records and bringing a groove back, and it was mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I used to play records for friends on my porch. That was the extent of my DJ. And then, so I always was amazed at that, but, you know, I couldn't afford turntables or that sort of thing. Then when I moved out, and you know, I've always bought records. You gotta keep buying your records. It's all about your education and your knowledge of different types of music. And then, you know, I started working at Tower, and I knew Blake for years as well. And you know, Blake told Josh that I was working at Tower, and that's how I first met Josh. Then we all moved in together, and yes, the desire to spin, I had to learn. Yeah. I had to learn to spin. And then Silk City had approached Josh about a job spinning at Silk, but he couldn't do it. And he said, you know, my roommate and friend King is learning to spin and this sort of thing, and I think he can, you know, he can handle it. And I remember my first night at Silk, I was like,
you're so nervous, man.
I brought like 4 crates of records, like my collection. And it was fantastic, though. And then over the years, we've just developed a certain sound over at Silk City.
Do people still scratch? I mean, scratching is... Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
in certain settings.
It's beyond the way it used to be, scratching.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, you have the DMC contests and these different competitions, and you have these teams. Mm-hmm. Like I was saying, like the Invisible Scratch Pickles. They're a team out of San Francisco. 8 turntables.
They play them like instruments.
Yeah, they're instruments.
It's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. It's something that you can't really visually comprehend by hearing us talk about it. Yeah. But until you see it on video or in person, it's like, holy cow.
And then, I used to be in Diggable Planets. And that was an amazing setting because I, as a DJ, was a musician. You know, we had bass, drums, horns, keys, and then the 3 rappers and then a DJ. So my job, nothing was on DAT, nothing was pre-recorded, except the records, but I had to manipulate the records in accordance with the structure of the song. So all I had was the drum beats and the samples, and I had to make sure the timing of the turntables was perfect with the drummer and vice versa. If it skipped, you know, I had to get out of it. And go, but that's the whole aspect of spinning live with a band.
There's so many CDs now, and a lot of record stores carry CDs and they don't carry records anymore. It's getting more challenging to find vinyl.
Well,
do you go to a lot of used record stores?
King does, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what you're into.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're into the new vinyl and what you need for now, like all the stuff coming out of Europe and all, I mean, there are tons of stores that just sell vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
that specialize, they're specialty stores for the DJ. And being that DJ culture is coming back into the forefront, you know, you see a lot more stores like Tower, HMV selling vinyl again. And yes, we do go to old record stores, especially for production. You know, we want to take a lot of maybe beats and rhythms from older records and apply it to our new sound.
It's a balance. I mean, the way the technology is getting now, that DJing and it's becoming, I guess, kind of a fad. You know,
yeah.
Parents aren't really giving their kids, or kids aren't buying, you know, bass guitars or drum sets. You know, they're getting turntables, they're getting samplers. They're able to do what we've done a little bit more accessibly now because it's more affordable, it's fun, it's easy. You could do it in your bedroom. You can get a home bedroom studio for around $1,500. You know, and most parents, if they get, you know, their children these things in terms of buying a bass guitar and a cabinet amp and lessons, maybe, you know, we're talking the same amount of money, but you can get a sampler, a keyboard, a drum machine all together.
It's like
and
punk rock.
Yeah, it's totally, it's accessible.
I want to thank you both a lot for talking with us. It's been fun and I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Josh Wink and King Britt are based in Philadelphia. They each have a new CD on their new record label, Ovum. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.